first social media job was actually with Ashton Kutcher's film company in LA. And this is when Punk'd was huge on MTV. And I only got the job because I went to school at the University of Iowa, where Ashton was in school for like 1 year famously and dropped out because became scouted and became a model and then an actor and now an investor, venture capitalist, whatever his titles are now. I cold emailed his production company, and just because they saw Iowa as my email, because I used my university email, and they, my last name kind of was with a K, they thought I was his cousin. So the only reason I got the job was because they thought I was his cousin. So day one, when I get there, they're like, oh my gosh, you get to meet his cousin, you're your cousin. And I'm like, who is that? So joke was on them.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballow.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We Need to Be Doing That is a Heartland Group production.
Come on. We need to be doing that.
All right, so this one's exciting. We have our first confirmed two-time guest on We Need to Be Doing That. It's Amy Keene, who you might know from the Carolina Panthers, but she's been up to something recently, and that's why we reached out. We wanted to dig into what her new role is and all that she's got going on. But Amy, it's great to see you and bring you back for a second time. We'll send the two-time championship belt to your house in 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm feels so like we pumped. Need confetti and like some sound effects that maybe I'll add in the background, right?
Yeah, post-production.
I got to put that belt. I got to put that belt in the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
It's wonderful to be back. Thanks for having me. I'm beaming. If those of you who are listening, you can't tell, but I hope you can feel the energy in my voice, but I'm very excited.
We, the three of us talk a lot about the topics that we talk about. Sometimes we get a little too into the weeds. So I want to be mindful of that and kind of pull back the fact that there's probably somebody listening to this who doesn't know who you are, but you are an absolute rock star as it comes to social media, team social. So let's just take a step back if we can. Most recently was with the Carolina Panthers for a number of years doing fantastic work. But can you just start there? Can you talk about how that job started and what that job entailed and all that you did with that team?
Absolutely. I'm going to take it even a little bit more back. Is I got my start in social, actually. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast. So if I haven't, this is new news. My first social media job was actually with Ashton Kutcher's film company in LA. And this is when Punk'd was huge on MTV. And I only got the job because I went to school at the University of Iowa, where Ashton was in school for like one year famously and dropped out because became scouted and became a model and then an actor and now an investor, venture capitalist, whatever his titles are now. And I cold emailed his production company, and just because they saw Iowa as my email, because I used my university email, and they, my last name kind of was with a K, they thought I was his cousin. So the only reason I got the job was because they thought I was his cousin. So day one, when I get there, they're like, oh my gosh, you get to meet his cousin, you're your cousin. And I'm like, who is that? So joke was on them, but I fell in love with social media after that. Like seeing him, just he could post anything and like get like 1,000 responses. And at the time, it was 2009. Twitter was just really becoming the platform. And I don't know if you guys remember, this is taking people back, but some of the old millennials, maybe you'll remember this, is Ashton was like the first celebrity to get a million subscribers, followers on Twitter. So he was like a big deal in that space. So it was really cool. And he was the nicest person ever. So I had a great time. So that was my first foray. And then I wanted to go, I decided, I was like, after that, I was like, oh, I really like that. And I did a little detour, became a teacher for about 4 years. So if you see my dramaticism, is because I taught, I don't even think that's a word, I just made it up, but I taught 4 years of middle school. And then I kind of got back into sports, and I was at the Panthers for 5 years. I know listeners can't tell, but I have a lot of gray hairs. I just recently colored it, so the pod family can't see any. but it is there. Trust me, my stylist was like, it's getting a little darker down there in the grays. And I was like, I know, I'm getting old. So, and through that experience, I had such a great time at the Panthers. And I feel very lucky that we ended on such good terms. Like, wasn't bad blood. They weren't like, see you later. It was very much of like, we really enjoyed our time together. And like, they're kind of like my buddies. Like, and so I still talk to them all the time. And so I feel really honored that, like, as much as I was a pain in their side, you know, I still left with great memories and like was, I didn't leave in a sense of ill will. And I got to start something new with Jared here in Kleinstein with Gondola. So I'm really jazzed. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, I think you didn't talk about all the amazing things that you did at the Panthers. So they should cherish the time that they had with you. I mean, all the schedule releases and everything that you did. Like, we've always been blown away by the creativity that you've done with that team.
Well, I will say it's nice when you know when you do social for so long. So many people associate you with the content, but I always try to remind people I'm a Pisces, so I love people very much, and I'm an empath. But so it was a huge team. I was about to say team effort, and I kind of want to throw up a little bit because I know that sounds so like cliche, but it was such a team effort. I think the best thing I ever did at the Panthers was I always found great people to do great work and kind of help them do their best. So a lot of times people would give me credit and I'd be like, I surely did not come up with that, but I definitely was the nudger of like, you have a great idea, you should do that. And then keep nudging them to be like, you should really do that though. Like, you should finish that project because it's a really good idea and let's post it. So I feel like my best asset was I created a space for everyone to do them. So that I think as a leader, I feel like my greatest legacy is seeing people kind of get out of their comfort zone and excel. So that I would say that was my, I always try to remind people, I'm like, I cannot edit. I can come up with some funny tweets, but like, Lord knows a few times people have had to have me edit something. And then they're like, you know, we'll just wait a week. We'll wait a week. We'll wait till the people come back and then we'll handle it. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably a good idea because this thing that I just made is not up to standards. So,
you're really a nicer version of Bill Parcells.
Yeah,
in a social space.
I'll take it.
And a hell of a team over there. And I should note, heavy on the side of women. I mean, we're recording this on Women's History Month. We've mentioned this before that I think you'd be surprised. Your favorite NFL team is probably run, their social media is probably run by a bunch of women, as was the Carolina Panthers. So how do you feel about the space, sports, social right now, the opportunities that women are getting, the people on your team like Angela, Chanel, you know, such fantastic creators and people at the end of the day. In your 5 years and as you left, how are you feeling about the space and the opportunities that women are getting?
Well, as I mentioned on this first podcast, I hate being called a girl. So that's one of the first things I really appreciate how you set that up. Because I really think once we start getting out of this like initial like mindset that we are culturally here, oftentimes in American pop culture, is you know, we call professional women, adult women, girls, like, and it feels demeaning to me, where I've been at places where like, I'm 30 years old, have a child, and someone's like, oh, this is a social media girl. And I'm like, oh, I feel like the blood in my veins went ice. So I, one, already love the preface. Two, this could be your soundbite. This is going to be controversial, and I'm sure I'll get some people to be like, oh, I'm going to come at you. And I'm like, please, it's okay. I'm fine. If you want to come at me, it's fine. I do believe that women are incredible social media managers, like leaders, that I almost think that more women should be leading sports teams. And I don't want to go into like, you know, general isms or whatever, but I do feel like there's a balance between like loving the sport, but also loving the community. And I think that that's again, like a happy medium. And I want more women. I particularly want more Black women in leading social teams, because I think that's a demographic that hasn't always had an opportunity to excel in those roles. Maybe not excel is the right word, but like have an opportunity. Let's start there. So I think that's kind of my hope. And I'm starting to see that already. And I think we need more women in that leadership type role. So I'm excited. I love Angela and Chanel and Megan, who's our coordinator now. At the Panthers, I should say, is their coordinator now. It's like talking about my ex in a happy way. They're crushing it. So I absolutely love it. And I hope, like Megan Julian at the Chargers, very similarly, like we're building like badass teams. And if the badass people are women, like I'm for it. So,
you know, there's been a lot of changes in an evolution of social media strategy, content distribution. When I started, it was in 2008 with the Minnesota Timberwolves. There was no Twitter. There was Facebook. Basically, I had to just hope that people landed on the website to read and consume the content. And here we are now, where it's the main drivers of an organization. I want to see what your opinion is and see if you agree or disagree with this, that I still think we're a far way away where we need to be with teams. The teams having the right structure, financial backing, and approach to their departments. And when I say that, and I don't think it's across all leagues, all teams, every situation is different, but for the most part, and what I hear from people in the industry, and I left the Knicks, you know, in 2018, I don't think that the top level social media person or digital sits at the same level as the president of marketing. And I think that's a good spot. They should have the exact same sort of either, if you want to call it power, decision-making, staff, budget to accurate. Because if you think about it, social media is the central point of everything that an organization is going to do, from selling tickets, merchandise, to telling the story about the team, to marketing. Why wouldn't these organizations invest and create a structure in which everything flows through that, including breaking their own news? You know, so that's my soapbox. I would love to hear your opinion on it. I don't think we've discussed it on the first podcast.
Yes. I was recently quoted in SBJ, a very well-known publication. And I said something like similar to this, where I truly believe that we're going to be coming to that point where like now we're at the level where we're going to have those who started in social become the VPs, CMOs. I think it was almost like it wasn't it, and it still isn't like to what exactly what you said. It isn't always taken seriously. It's like the social team's going to do that. We're the business people. We have the mindset. And I think we're going to start seeing that shift, and it's needed. I will say it all comes down to power. It all comes down to power, right? And you have the haves and the have not. And those who have power are often people that, you know, want to keep social to the side a little bit. Those are the CFOs, the CEOs, those who have legacy MBAs, etc. The social world, those who growing up were kind of the outcasts, the misfits, right? So to bring people up to that level, to the business VP leadership decision-making level, I mean, it comes down to power. It's intimidating. I know in a lot of instances, with me, you know, I'll speak not just my time at the Panthers, but just in the sports creative space, is I'm always going to be me. And I wasn't always me until recently, because I was like, in the sense of like, I was kind of nervous because I was like, what if I say something and this is going to cost me this? Like, I'm being very vulnerable at this, because people don't always talk about it. Like, I don't want to like do certain things because I want to get that VP title, or I want that certain level. And now I'm so confident in this space that I'm in that I feel, sorry, my little buzzer went off. I feel that, I want to say things that make me feel great, make me others feel great, lift others up, because that's the type of leader I'm going to be. So if you don't want, if you don't see me right now, who I am at my 100%, I'm not going to be the VP leader, but then you're not going to get me, the creative, the comforter, the person who leads people. Like, so that's kind of, I don't know if that even made sense, but I, what I view that as is, you got to try to find, get those misfits in. And once they're in, like, it's really going to change. You know, I don't always like to make projections, but I really do think it's going to start trickling down in sports and make it where it's not so intimidating to have someone that's a VP, CMO, C-suite who has social experience and not be like an outcast. Did that make sense, Jonah? I hope I did, because I felt
no,
really
it totally
good
does, and it's no, you nailed it, and I agree on all of them, because you know what it what has happened is, and I'll be blunt about it. There's a lot of recycling of marketing folks that go through the leads and the teams, and they play the same roles. They touch social digital, but they're not in it in the game night, practices, holidays, weekends, in the thick of the content creation. And I hope those people who have been in that situation will begin to rise to the higher level. And again, power, exactly. It really should be a structure where you're on the same page as basketball ops, business, marketing. That person at the top should be, and should have experience who's led it. And, you know, you've made the move, you know, past the Panthers now or out of football. For me, when I left the Knicks, I didn't realize any of this until afterwards. You know what I mean? And I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy because of all the things that I went through with the org, not necessarily blaming the organization, but you run a 24/7, 365 job. And sometimes it's just, it's not even the credit. It's not even that. It's just not even having the backing of everybody in the organization as like, hey, this is a really important business department and we don't sell tickets. We don't market, we don't create without them. And unfortunately, it's just an interesting business situation as well, because you have teams who make tons of money regardless, right? Mm-hmm. MSG is going to sell out regardless, you know, regardless of the product being terrible for years and years and years. You know, it's if somebody bought an iPhone and it was terrible, right? Didn't work. Apple would fold, right? It would just, they wouldn't exist. But yet teams can, even though the performance isn't great on the field and on the court. So anyways, there it is, my soapbox.
I mean, he left to work with Keith and I, so that says a lot.
I was a wounded animal.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I love the way that you said that. And I think we've talked a lot about change on this podcast in a lot of different ways. And I don't think we came at it from that angle enough. I almost want to see like where the age curve is right now, you know, for millennials and all that, and like how that resonates with past generations, because I think we're at this apex where shit is just starting to fucking change, and all these people are terrified that are you know on the other side of it. And it's not just with social media. I mean, it all is combined with social media. It's about diversity. It's about, you know, women empowerment and all these things that like should have been there, and they're sort of banging on the door, and it's like breaking through in all these different ways. It's just such an interesting time. And the way that you put it, I just love how you said that, even though it was just talking about one aspect of it. But what are your thoughts on like how women's sports are moving now?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I feel like the pressure is on for media companies like the Bleachers, NFL, ESPN Sports Center, House of Highlights to really take women's sports more seriously in their coverage game. And I love it. I don't know if you guys followed the AU basketball stuff with women's basketball over the last little bit, but their content, oh my gosh, I love it so much. Like, and that has been so exciting. It's not just, it's like, you know, I think there's this myth that like a lot of really talented executives, creatives don't want to work with women athletes. And that's just absolutely false. Like the level of talent that the creatives who are able to make around AU hoops and Even in like the Chicago Sky, like a WME team that's phenomenal, like the Washington Spirit, you know, winning the NWSL. Like, there are great content teams, and I just feel like I think there's a really a rupture of like an appetite for like media companies to not just say we're about women empowerment like 1 month a year, just like we're not saying we're about Black Lives Matter 1 month of the year. Like, it should be a continuing spectrum. And so I love that we're starting to see it more, as we should. Like, and it's been the outliers, like those who have been in like on the side, like creating great Instagrams, like Twitters, like creating merch themselves. Like, those are the people that are going to change the business mindset of like in the consumer mindset. And I love it. I follow it all the time because there's people that I know that care about it. And I'm one that doesn't have that much time. I know some of us have kids. Like, I feel like I watch Sesame Street a little bit too regularly in my daily life, but still an amazing program. I think we're going to start seeing it more, and I'm stoked. So there is not, I just want to dispel the myth that there is not talented creatives, leaders who want to work in women's sports. They are there and they're already in it. And there's
going to be, I mean, I'd much rather work with women's sports.
I love it.
And I would say some of my favorite clients, PHF, has been women's sports. So women athletes are, you know, I don't know, someone who coaches his daughter in soccer and in basketball and knows nothing what he's doing. There's something special about women's sports. Yeah. I just think even from like a young age, I think there's a hunger there that's not the same with men because of the inequality and everything, because they have that fire that I feel like that's just not there in men's sports. At least I feel like it's gotten kind of stale compared to some
things. One of my favorite memories of just like growing up as a sports fan was I'm only 5'2" and I have no coordination, not athletic at all. But in my head, I was the most athletic person at the age of 8. Like, I would like hustle and get the balls. Like, you know, like I was like, I had like the headband, like the low basketball shorts, like the A1 shoes, like everything. I took it so seriously. And my friend's dad was the coach of a travel basketball team. And I kind of made it to like, because my best friend was on the team, like that kind of a thing. And he took us to see Candace Parker when she played in Naperville High School, when she was just about exploding, about to go to Tennessee. And the line just to get in to see her was so long. And like, we were just like up against the padded like sides of the gymnasium at her high school. And like, just able to like get that environment. It was the best basketball game. And I've seen Final Fours. I've seen Duke play. That was the best basketball game I've ever seen. And just to see her like command a high school arena. And now she obviously for a long time has commanded NBA arenas. Like, it's exhilarating. So I love it.
You know, we're coming up on 2 years of COVID, which is absolutely incredible. We've seen a lot of change in our industry, in the sports industry, a lot of employment changes. We exited a company and started our own. Mm-hmm. You exited the Panthers. I know as a manager, you dealt with people on the team that left. I'm sure people on the team that voiced to you they wanted to leave. It just felt like there was this culmination of, I need to take care of myself. I need to put myself first. What were some of the things you were dealing with the last 2 years? And did any of that play into your decision to leave the Panthers?
So I think that as a manager, I'll speak to that first, is when I feel like in general, I was a terrible, terrible manager when I first started. It was like, hey, here's a promotion. Also, here's all these people you're going to manage. Good luck. That was kind of the vibe. And I sucked. I was an awful one. Proud to say it, because it taught me everything. And I had really good people that were like, hey, you're not doing so hot. Let's reevaluate this. Like, you're saying you're this, but you're actually a micromanager and do not follow through on your commitments to your teammates. So, whew, that was a hard time to come up with that. So I really, really worked on how to be a better leader. And I kind of channeled my teaching mindset of like when I was a teacher, right? Like I didn't just teach one way to every single student, right? Like there were certain students I knew I had to like maybe spend more extra time with, or like they just needed a little bit of encouragement. And there's some students that are like, give me the workbook. I do not need your help. I'm good. So once I kind of realized that in my management style, especially of creatives, things really, I felt like a really empowered leader because I felt like the team that I had, I tried to, like I said earlier, trying to put them in positions to win. And so I've always been like, hey, you know, life happens. I understand that personally, just of like, you know, I said this on the last podcast, but those who may not know, like I gave birth very early to my son the night before our season opener at the Panthers and had to like text my team and be like, hey, not going to be available. But I also didn't really want to tell people what had happened because the situation at the time was just like very, I was in shock. Like I didn't really want to ask a lot of questions. So I just said like, I was unavailable, you know? And so I understand life happens, very, real. And so I always try to be flexible. Like, hey, if you need a day to like, do all the laundry, or just day at home, like, let's make that happen. Let's figure out a way. If you need to, you know, like what you said earlier, Keith, I think like we work 365, 24 hours. It feels like you could be like, hey, you have to post something in our world. So like, if we could have flexibility, we need it. So I really tried to be, as open and flexible as possible with things. Like, you know, a few of my, direct reports like, hey, I kind of want to go somewhere for a little bit. And at the time, this is 2020, where like we were not going into the office, our team wasn't. And I was like, sure, if you want to work from home, like in another state for a little bit, like I don't have a problem with that. Like, let's make it work. Like, let's make sure that it, particularly a lot of our younger people were like living in Charlotte by themselves during COVID. Like, that's a lot, you know, like if you need to be around people, let's make that happen in a safe way. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, I think the biggest thing for me, and I give the Panthers so much credit, especially my boss, Bill, because of my situation with my son, like he's a little bit older, he's a toddler, and he's amazing. And I needed flexibility, like as a leader. I could not be in the office every day and like sit at my desk until 5 o'clock and be like, okay, peace, guys. Like I had to be like, some days I'd be like, I'm coming in later, and then be like, okay, cool. You know, cause there was so much trust, and just like, I had trust with my team of like, just, you know, let me know, communicate if you need something. Like I'm not someone of like, you didn't get something done and you have to stress. I'd always tell people that I'm like, I'm so easygoing. If you don't get something done, like reach out to me and be like, hey, this is just not working. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's push it to next week if we can. And if not, like, let's see if we can get someone else to help you. Like, so with as I was kind of thinking, you know, about my own situation with life, like, and COVID changed a lot of things. I loved being home with my son. I loved like having an opportunity to like go to the bathroom multiple times a day. I know that's probably an overshare, but like those who like are on the grind all the time, like sometimes I didn't even like drink enough water to go to the bathroom, and I'd like go and I'd be like, oh, it looks like I probably should drink a little bit more water. Like, you're going to be like, this is the worst podcast guest ever. But that's what my ultimate decision came where it was Thanksgiving, of 2021. And I was thinking of like, it was our bye week at the Panthers. And I was just like, I love being home. I really love being home. And I think I need to start thinking about how I can be home more, because honestly, the last 6 months in particularly, I had felt like not a good manager, right? Because I was the one that like needed to be, have a lot of more flexibility. So because I was sometimes not in the office, like it put more strain on everyone else, because they had, if they had to pick something up at the office or they had to go do an event, like that put more pressure on other people, and that didn't sit well with my spirit. And then I just felt like when I was home, like working, my son loved, like his favorite toy was like trying to get a laptop to look like me. Like, you know, like he'd open up a fake laptop and like type, right? Like that was just really disheartening to be like, oh, he wants to do what I want to do, but that's, you know, he's not picking up his toys. He's picking up like to try to mimic a computer, right? But it just didn't feel good. I felt like I was being a sucky manager, sucky mom, sucky partner to my fiance. Like, and so I kind of was like, you know what? I think I need to reevaluate that. And so I called the Panthers that Thanksgiving. I was the worst to my boss. I don't know why. I'm someone that like I never could keep a secret. So like as soon as I was like, yep, I'm going to make this decision, I called my boss on Thanksgiving. I'm the worst. And I was like, okay, this is going to be it. And poor him, he's known Bill, my boss, at the Panthers. You know, we became friends, you know, in the sense of like, he would be like, check in on me, how are you doing? And I'd be like, I'm struggling, you know, those things. And I was like, I think this is the end of the road. I think that's exactly what I said. And he's like, what does that mean? And I was like, I think I'm ready to transition to something else. And I really would like to try this new venture with my good friend Jared, with Gondola. And he's like, Gondola, you know, what is that? It's like, you know, he was like, okay. But he was so supportive and he understood of like, I was facing that pull often. And to not have that pull and just be like, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. And Jared was really awesome when we kind of talked through things of this new job with Gondola. And he's like, what do you need to make this happen? I said, I need flexibility is the number one thing. And I want to work at home. And he's like, great, let's do it. So it was a really easy decision. And that's why I say how things ended with the Panthers is so well was like, you know, I was really lucky that they let me finish the season. And Jared was so kind to like make sure that for me to do this new role that he put my priorities at first and asked me what my priorities were to like accommodate that. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm in a really good headspace. I've lost 10 pounds. I have an exercise bike next to me that sometimes I use, not as much, but like more than I did at the Panthers. I go to the bathroom way regularly. I'm on a regular cycle now. I'm in a great headspace. But I think the biggest thing is I feel such like a better mom and a better partner. Like I still have my days that sometimes I miss the craziness. I'm not going to lie. Of like, I miss being like needed. I'm like, oh, okay, no one texted me. So that's also real. I wasn't ready for like all of a sudden like, yay, yay, yay. And then like a couple weeks later, I was like, okay, I actually have the morning off.
Gondola.
So Jared started Gondola, Jared Kleinstein, who was formerly at Vine. That's how we know each other. He was leading international and sports at Vine, RIP. And he, after Vine kind of, you know, was no more, he decided to open his own production company in Denver, Colorado, where he's from. And they were doing amazing events for like Twitter, NBA All-Star, you know, Super Bowl week. Like they were doing amazing work. And he started realizing that like when they would make good content, they couldn't find a way where it all went. Like they couldn't find a way to track everything. So he built this tool called Gondola, and he had called me about it, you know, around Thanksgiving. And he's like, would you ever want to do this? And I was like, no, that was my first answer. Because I was so much like, Jerry, I'm in the season right now. Like, I can't even, like, I don't know. And he's like, just think about it. And so I looked at what Gondola was, and it's a platform to organize and keep track of your creative wherever it's housed. And it's a way for you to get credit for your work and find out who made the amazing things that you see on the internet. And the more I got thinking about it, it's like my heart really, truly as a manager was all, it's where I felt like I excelled the most was I really made a great environment for creatives, I felt like. And I was like, how could I do that on a more, like, I don't want to say global scales because it sounds like I'm an evil, like Dr. Evil with the chair. Like, how can I take this global? But like, that's kind of how I felt. I was like, how could I take me doing what I do at the Panthers and make it more global? And so I was like, let's do this. Let's find a way for creatives to have their work shared, like for them to feel seen and heard, like to find new creatives in the industry. Because what you said, Joan, earlier, it's a lot of recycle and repeat stuff. Like, let's find some new people. Let's invigorate the business. And the industry is telling us that like young creatives are not feeling seen and heard. They're feeling undervalued, underappreciated, and for sure underrepresented. So like, how can we make that better? And I feel like Gondola can be a conduit to bring attention to those things. And so that's that's what I'm doing now. So I'm excited. And I'm being a mom and being a partner and trying to do take actually like fold the laundry. I still leave it in the dryer a little too long, but I'm working. It's better than how it was at the Panthers. So
hey, you'll get there. It just takes work, right?
Yeah.
You know, I really trust your opinion on digital and your experience and savvy in that space. And I think there's a lot of trends. There's a lot of things happening. It's changing every hour, minute. But what are some of the things that you're excited about and some of the digital practices that are evolving and you feel like are something that are going to be very important for not only just, you know, the sports space, but marketing as a whole and where the industry is going?
I think the industry is moving away from full-time work. I said it, and I'm not afraid to say it again. We're moving away from full-time work. We talk about the gig economy, right? I read those ad ages. I read all about that in Business Insider. The gig economy is hitting sports. I think that I get reached out to a lot by people like, hey, I'm looking for someone for this role. And I'm like, you know, sorry, I'm trying not to sneeze. My allergies. And I see roles that I'm like, I can't find anyone who'd take it, to be honest. Like no one, like right now, like people kind of have it good, like young creatives or even just creatives in general. Like if they have the willpower to be more independent, like they're living the life. Like, I don't know if they want to move to a smaller town, you know, be working the grind like we have been for so long. Like, they kind of like the flexibility. So that's the first thing I think is going to happen, which I'm excited about. But also, it's totally okay. I try to remind people, like, just because it's young and sexy to be, like, independent and on your own, like, it's okay to also work for a full-time place, like, work for a team. Like, you don't have to be like the entrepreneur all the time, or even if that's not who you are. Some safety is like also feels wonderful. So
that's also experience too, right? Yeah. Like I think on that point too, you know, and I'm a proponent of exactly what you've been saying, but I'm also now 40 years old, so
you don't look
thank you. There's a lot of people who
give me your magic serum. I want it. I'll put it all
over. But you know, it's but that is an important part that I think young people shouldn't overlook. And listen, if you want to be freelance contract, do your thing, go skiing for a month, come back, work for several months and grind at it to make your money for that year, great.
Yeah.
But people who do want to get in the industry, I am a proponent of ensuring that you get the necessary experience, getting the reps, getting the at-bats. And I think at a full-time job, there are a lot of positive things that you can take from that. So sure. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I'm always the one preaching like freelance, do your own thing. But then I know my perspective has changed from when I was, you know, in my 20s, and I'm like, I need that paycheck. I need to know I can, you know, at least get my Subway sandwich every week, you know, and get the experience. So sorry to interrupt, but I just think Subway. That is part important, you know, of being experienced.
Subway the sponsor to this, because that's amazing. I love it.
So sorry to interrupt. Finish your thought on other digital things that you're excited about, other than just, you know, so the work culture.
I think the another thing we're starting to see, it's already been out there, but I think it's now infiltrating. Like it was just a few outliers, and now it's like more mainstream. Is the social team, admin, whatever you want to call it, having a very vocal presence on brand social, team social, league social. I think TikTok changed that a lot of like, you have to put someone out there sometimes to be the face of your TikToks or whatever. I tried a few, they did not do well. I wasn't in the crowd. TikTok was like, you're not the fit in the vibe. So I think we're seeing that more, and I love it. The Seattle Kraken do an amazing job. Like, they talk about like, hey, admin here, what do you guys want to see today? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love them. I love them so much. So I love that we're seeing more of that. I think that's so exciting. Even the NFL, like their own TikTok like account is like having faces in there and like talk through things. And I'm like, I'm obsessed. So I think we're not scared of like what you said earlier of it's just the social team over there doing their own little thing, is like these individuals can be influencers to your brand. They can be an extension. So let's not shy away from like, hey, you can't post our content on your social. Like, I think we're going to be coming more to this medium where like the creators on your team are influencers. Like, they will be your conduit to like get the word out on your messages. So like, I love that. I know Angela and Chanel at the Panthers, Alex Grant, Richard, all these wonderful, Brandon Johnson, all these wonderful people, like they would like share our work, and I'd be like, yes, I love it. Like, that's amazing. Like, keep doing it. Like, let's have fun. Like, you guys are spreading the word about the Panthers' great stuff. And like, the more you're yourself, like, the more people are going to want to follow like the work that you do. So I love it. Those are my two trends.
It's so true. I was trying to figure out how to frame this question because I don't want it to be an indictment of the Panthers. So I'll ask it in a way of, we talk a lot about there being silos and teams. There's the social department, there's marketing, there's digital potentially. It depends on how the teams are run, but your friends, your colleagues in the sport, I've noticed, have gone agency side. You've left the Panthers. Do you feel that there's a way to move into a different role after somebody like where you were? Is there an opportunity to do that, or you have to figure out a whole different career change?
Meaning, are you kind of asking, Keith, like, could there have been a role at the Panthers that would have been
like, yes, but I didn't want it to be like the answer is no and the Panthers are terrible, because they're not. No, they're clearly not.
No, you know, that's a great question, and that's something that like I definitely thought about, like, is there something for me still here? And at the time, you know, and when I was thinking on that Thanksgiving, and because the Panthers like, is there something that we can do? You know, and I told them there wasn't at the moment. Like, the number one thing I wanted, no matter what, was I wanted to feel like I was a better mom, and I wasn't, like, you know, a better parent. And the time commitment that I, as an individual, was giving to the Panthers, it didn't match the values that I had at the moment, which was I needed to be a more present parent. And so there wasn't, in my mind, something that could change that, because that I had hit the point where like I had been coasting for a while in the sense of like, okay, I'm juggling it all. And then it got to the point where like, I'm not juggling. This is what I'm going to do. And so that was, you know, a lot of people had asked me like, how did you decide? When did you decide? I was like, I knew it was the right decision. When I was like at one point, and it was like around that Thanksgiving break where I was like, okay, it was a difficult decision to think through. Like, am I going to leave all these things, all this turmoil I was having internally? And then it just wasn't, because I decided that I was like, what's the most important thing? And I know people say this, and then people say like family first. And like, I've been guilty of that. Like, I've been saying family first for years and have not truly, if I'm honest, been living that. I've been like saying family first, but then like being gone for like a whole weekend doing an event for the Panthers, right? Leaving everything to my fiance and my son, and like coming back at the end and being like, mom, the cool mom's back to like tuck you in, right? So it wasn't a hard decision when I realized like I actually really want to be around my family. So I don't know if I answered that, but that's how I kind of came to that of like, what I want is time. And the Panthers and I think at the moment couldn't give me time. Yeah.
And I think that is a big part of the team thing. That's just, it's just the nature of what it is. They play in the NFL, they play every week, but the NBA, it's every night, every other night, back to backs and weekends. Mm-hmm. Also, what I struggled with too was, and I don't know if you had this a little bit, Amy, is I felt like my identity was the NBA and the Knicks. Like, you know, I get introduced to my now fiance's, you know, girlfriend's, you know, husband or boyfriend, be like, oh man, talk about the Knicks. I'm like, dude, the last thing I want to talk about right now is the Knicks. They suck. They're bad. It's the same thing every year. So, but my identity was like, I felt that. And I was like, I remember talking to my girlfriend at the time and saying like, I don't know what my, you know what I mean? I feel so associated with that job, and it was just every part of my life. So that was part of the breakup, I guess, that I went through. It was like the identity. And I think a lot of people who are in that industry feel the same way. But then once you kind of step out, you're like, wait, there is something else there, you know, there, and then you can for me, I was able to then become a fan again and and think about digital content in a different way. And when I went to the agency with these guys, I was doing, you know, stuff for beauty brands, you know, Toyota, you know, and it just, it totally changed. I was like, I was stoked. I was so excited to do something different, something out of the norm of the sports world to test if I really was a good digital creator or a creator in general, you know?
Sure. I think I could have felt like that experience of like, this is the end of who I am if I didn't leave it in such good hands, right? Like if I was kind of a little bit jealous, like, but I kind of wanted to like, you know, I Angela, who I love dearly, who's now leading the social on the Panther side, like I always tell her, I'm like, I'm like stuff and I comment, but like I try not to do anything like too much because I want her to create her own experience. Like to create, like she want, I told her, I was like, when I left, I was like, if you want to change anything, change it. It will not hurt my feelings and nothing will hurt my feelings. Like I feel like I also, because I don't want to say because I'm a parent, but I feel like I'm okay. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I am saying that because I'm a parent, but I have learned enough where it's like, it's a change is okay. Life's going to evolve. You're your own person. So like, if you want to do anything different, do it. And don't feel like you have to do things a certain way because I was there or like, you don't want, you know, like it doesn't bother me. And so I feel like if I didn't leave it in such good hands, I may have felt more like that. But because it was like, I'm so excited for you to take on this opportunity that like, I'm for it. I'm actually going to meet up with her later today. And I'm so excited for her to be like, this is what's going on. Like, you know, and just chat and be, you know, listen and whatever she wants, if she just wants like someone to talk to. And so I feel very blessed that was how the handoff went. It wasn't bad or whatever. It was just, we care so much about each other. So it was an easy thing. Well, I did stay till the end of the season. So I still was tweeting and doing all that stuff. So I will say the last home game, I was like, I didn't cry at all. And I'm a really big crier. Like I love to cry, honestly, because someone told me at one time, because I cried a lot, but they're like crying. I think they're trying to make me feel better. They're like, crying is like cleansing the soul. And ever since then, I'm like, oh, okay. Like it's okay to cry. Like I'm just cleansing my soul. And, so I so surprised. I'm actually really shocked. So I did not cry on my last day, my last game, even the last home game. Like I brought a little, like you can't see, but I brought like a little Polaroid camera and I took pictures of everyone I cared about. And I went around and like, it was awesome. Like I got to see Cam Newton come out of the tunnel. Like, and I was just, cause normally I'm like up in the press box and like never make my way down because I'm so busy. And so I got to like experience that again on the field, and I was just overwhelmed and overjoyed. Like, and I know this sounds like I'm like really hokey and like zenny and like new agey on this, but like I don't know, I just felt like it was the right decision, and I felt really at peace with everything, and so it didn't feel very emotional, like this is the last time I'm walking down this hallway, this is the last time I'm gonna see this person. It was just like, I'm excited. I really am grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for all of everyone. Like, you have my numbers. I know you guys can text me if you need me, and I can do the same, but like, this is the right thing. So I loved my last day, and I'm also so proud that like how I'm going to speak to myself right now for a second. This is now proving I am new agey, but like, I am so proud of how I handled it, as how I handled leaving, how I handled like my last few days, like, because it's really easy probably to be like, oh, F them, screw them, blah, blah, blah. They didn't do this. And there probably have been moments like that. I'm not saying I'm not like, I'm capable of anger, trust me. But I'm just really proud that I feel like I truly closed a chapter, and it was like a beautiful chapter, and like it was also a hard chapter. And I'm like, I'm really excited for this new thing and this building something, trying something new with Gondola. Like what you said, Jonah, like, I don't know, I've never built anything. I've never done in the tech space. I don't know if I can do it. And that's kind of what I tell Jared sometimes, is he's like, hey, we got to do this, we got to do this. And I'm like, and I talk to engineers a lot now, and I'm like, hey, I've never done this before. So I'm not going to tell you right now. I have it figured out. So that's my favorite phrase right now. I was like, I've never done this before. So I'm learning too. So be gracious with me because I'm inexperienced in this, but I can tell you that as I really care about people. And I think, I hope that's the thread that keeps me going. So
there's something really nice about that image that you said. I'm a big Cam fan.
Yeah.
That he was coming back on the field and you were like, you know, stepping back off the organization. It also shows that, like, not to say that you would go back, but that you have that relationship and that they, you know, they didn't end that great. And then Cam came back and it was this whole, you know, it's a great thing. You know? So there's something nice about that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we could have picked anyone to be the first two-time guest that's any better than you. We're so thrilled to have you and glad to spend some time with you. Where can people connect with you? I've noticed your resurgence on LinkedIn, which I appreciate. Where can people talk to you, connect with you, and learn more about Gondola?
So you can definitely tweet at me. My name is Amy, A-M-I-E. Last name is Keen, like Peachy Keen, K-I-E-H-N. I'm definitely on LinkedIn. And I would say I keep my Insta private. You can follow me, but I probably won't add you. but those are the three places. And Gondolas, it's really easy. It's like Gondola, G-O-N-D-O-L-A, and .cc, like creative community. And that's where we're building something really fun. So I'd love for people to check it out. And if you don't, that's okay too. I'm not a salesperson. So if you don't like it, it doesn't hurt me. I just want to make other people who do like it have fun.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit weneedtobedoingthat.com for more episodes and contact information.